In the season of Advent, we reflect on the coming of Christ as he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The historic birth of Jesus will be on our minds as we listen to the preaching of John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets whose ministry paved the way for the Messiah. Advent leads to Christmas, and it is a time we put ourselves into the shoes of ancient believers, anticipating the coming of God's Son, who would be born in a stable and celebrated by angels. The birth of God's only begotten Son is that event Christians long to celebrate, and rightly so. It marks the fulfillment of God's promise to crush the serpent's head by the woman's seed. God, in flesh and blood, comes into creation to redeem it, restore it, to make it new by laying down his life. He becomes cursed by God when absorbing divine wrath for sins, but by doing so, sins are paid for. You are innocent, and eternal life is secured. An event so gruesome to the eyes is salvation for the world. We have these things because Jesus came into the world to win them for us. But in Advent, as in every church season, one cannot overlook the reality that we live in the time after the crucifixion. Meaning, in regards to the coming of Jesus, not only do we celebrate the incarnation, but we also anticipate and look forward to his second coming, when in all his glory Jesus will arrive to forever make all things anew. And so we in the present hold on to this. The Christ has come, and he will come again. The return of Jesus, it means something for you right now. No, we don't know when our Lord will return against all the heretics who try in vain to predict a date. Christ has hidden that knowledge from us. But nevertheless, he does say, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." That's what you need to do until Jesus comes again or until he takes you to be with himself. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. That's another way of saying, don't get complacent, but stay faithful. And by staying faithful, I mean continue believing and trusting in the Word of God. Continue living lives of contrition and repentance for your sins, so that when God comes, he will find you doing what he has called you to do, living by faith in his Word. Live by faith. That was the theme in last week's sermon. And we see it still in the epistle reading. But along with faith, the gospel this morning reveals to us the life Christians will have while maintaining that faith. We've all gotten a dose of the televangelist telling us that by believing you'll have a peaceful life, by tithing God will give you more money, if you do this, God will do that. A formula making God obligated to give you what you deserve. You've done your part, God must do his. The biblical truth is, God is not obligated. The very word grace tells us. It's out of his love and mercy that he gives to undeserving sinners the gifts they need. Jeremiah calls out these types of prophets. Through his lips, God says, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They say to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you, and no disaster shall come upon you.'" Now compare that with the gospel lesson, in which Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is giving us a warning. Being his disciple, living as his child, means there will be division between you and the world. The divine word of God tells us that being Christian means you will face enemies hostile to Christ and his church. This warning brings to our attention that you are the light of the gospel, but dwelling in the midst of people who still live in darkness. In Bible study last week, we came across the passage, Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12 says this: "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is no other name under heaven. Now, if you're trying to wrap your mind around the type of division Jesus is talking about, go to the Middle East, stand on a street corner, and confess Acts 4:12. Or the next time you're at a family reunion, go from person to person and confess Acts 4:12, and you'll find out very quickly why Jesus teaches us that life in his name causes division. He is the Prince of Peace. He is love. He loves you enough to die for you. But with this love, with this peace, comes enmity and strife from those still blinded by sin. Living the Christian life means taking up your cross and following Jesus. And this means saying no to a culture sliding further and further into paganism. Confessing Jesus means denying a world that says things like, marriage can be whatever you want. It can take place between whoever. Gender is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. To that, the Christian response, the faithful response is, yes, it does matter. It matters a great deal. Because Jesus has told us marriage is between one woman and one man. Living by the word of God means saying no to a world that says abortion is okay. It's a person's right. How dare you, Christian, trample on a person's rights? To that, the Christian must say, no, God has given no such right to his people. When the world says a person's life consists in the abundance of his possessions, the Christian answer is no, it does not. Being rich in the eyes of God means possessing heavenly treasures that endure forever, something money and stuff doesn't do. Now, one doesn't have to search very hard to experience the type of division Jesus is talking about. I've always thought it was interesting that when Jesus speaks of division, he talks about families, and I'm willing to bet that many of you have experienced division in your very own families because your doctrine in life is that of God, while someone very close to you confesses a different God and has a different Savior. They may even live a lifestyle in open rebellion to Christ and the life he has called for his children. And it's uncomfortable, to put it mildly. Let me just say, as you carry your cross, sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, as you live by his word, you will experience division between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Don't be surprised when you are called archaic, a traditionalist, judgmental, arrogant, a holy roller, self-righteous, hateful, a bigot, mean, closed-minded, etc., because you confess the name of salvation, and by doing so, you deny a sinful world at enmity with the gospel. Living by faith means living according to the word of God, not the wisdom of the world. When we face such division in our lives, I know it hurts. It does emotionally. Physically, it takes its toll. Don't be surprised when you suffer for the sake of the faith and are persecuted for the sake of the faith. And also, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, because even in times of distress and great difficulty, you still have God's promise that he is with you and God is for you. He is your advocate, your rock, a refuge. Our Lord even gives you the words to say when he puts the good confession on your heart and on your lips. You are not alone. And there is a reason why we can say that God is with us and that we are not alone. There's a reason why you can bank on his love, mercy, and protection. It's not because you are without sin. We know better. And Scripture teaches us as much. But even while we were enemies with God, dead in trespasses, and alive with rebellion and iniquity, Christ suffered and died for us. so great is his love, that even while man was estranged from his holy God, Jesus gives his life for sinners. And because of this, you are not separated from your God, but you are his, and he is yours. The word baptism comes up in this reading today. And at this point in the narrative, Luke is clear Jesus had already been baptized. Jesus was baptized with water, yes, but he is also baptized in a baptism of fire. Jesus would undergo a baptism of fire that God cast upon the earth. The Father pours out his fiery wrath for sin upon Jesus, who willingly drinks the cup of God's wrath down to its dregs. That is what is meant when Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." He's talking about his crucifixion, folks. He's talking about the fire of wrath cast upon the earth that falls on him for you and for me. What the crucifixion means is the penalty for sin paid by Jesus has been paid down to the very last penny. He has done it. It is finished. For us in the present day, the cross of Christ continues to be a scandal for many, a stumbling block, foolishness. It causes division in families, and some people will even be called to die for this faith. But none of this should scare us. The Christian, you see, has been called to boldness and confidence flowing out of faith, a faith that looks at the death of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and sees not defeat, but the power of salvation. In his death, we behold the Son of God giving himself as the perfect, spotless sacrifice for sin as God's wrath consumes his body hanging on that tree. Because of his atoning work, we can live in peace, knowing sin has been put to death. Your sins find their end in the person of Jesus, who has paid for them so you can be off the hook, bought, paid for as his own. I hope this is of great comfort to you. As you live in this hostile world, as you struggle with your sins, living in a world filled with enemies of the cross, remember who you are and what God in Christ has done for you. You have been bought by his blood to be his forgiven child. Your sins are washed away. Division in this world cannot take away your union with God through Jesus Christ. Amen.